Chapter 43. Jesse made himself a drink and sat at the bar in his living room to read the Nighthawk's letter. Dear Jesse, I'm feeling trapped and desperate. No, not because of anything you're doing. God, small-town cops. No, I feel trapped by my obsession. The struggle between my obsession and myself is the real struggle, not the pathetically unequal conflict between you and me. It's not what you do or who you talk to. It's whether my obsession drives me to do things that I don't want to do. It's whether, finally, to save me from my obsession, I allow you to catch me and put a stop to it. But I worry that if that time comes, you and the other Keystone cops won't have the wherewithal to do it. One thing is certain. I will strike again, and you can't stop me, and can never stop me, unless I arrange for you to stop me in order to stop my obsession. It should be interesting. The Nighthawk. Jesse put the letter on the bar. He stood and carried his drink to the French doors and looked out at the harbor. He drank some scotch. It's him, Jesse thought. He's letting me know that it's him. He knows I've talked to his wife. He knows we've had him under surveillance. It's not what you do or who you talk to. He's letting me know. I wonder if it's conscious. Jesse had some more scotch. I wonder what it means that he called me Jesse. He's getting more ragged. I can hear it in the voice in the letter. I wonder if he started out to go peeping, a de-escalating step, so to speak. Maybe he'd been frightened by Gloria Fisher. Maybe he's got to back up and start over and work himself up to it again. Jesse walked back to the bar and made another drink. The trick will be, Jesse thought, to put enough pressure on him to make him give himself away, but not enough pressure to make him hurt somebody. He wondered if Dix could help. He knew one thing. Dix would draw the analogy. The Nighthawk was clinging to an obsession that he felt he couldn't live without, and it was destroying him. Dix would direct Jesse's attention to his own situation with Jen. "It's not exactly the same," Jesse said, as he walked back across his living room to look out at the harbor again. "But you don't have to bend it too much to make it fit." Everyone wanted him to give up on Jen. As far as that argument went, everybody was probably right. He'd be better off without her. He was pretty sure that the Nighthawk wanted to stop being the Nighthawk, except that he also didn't want to give up being the Nighthawk. Jesse looked out at the harbor, except that he didn't see it. What he saw was himself in the darkened glass. Not old yet, still in shape. The booze didn't show, yet. He'd had a lot of women. They had been, by and large, good women, sometimes amazingly good, like Sonny Randall. And he'd liked them all, especially Sonny Randall. But they weren't like Jen. Jen wasn't good. Maybe that was her charm. Maybe what made their relationship so intense was the anger. Maybe, when they did make love, it was seasoned with rage, and the rage made it special. Maybe he was drunk. He walked back to get some more scotch. At the bar, he made a new drink and turned and looked back at the window where he'd been reflected and raised his glass. "Sooner or later," he said aloud, "I'll bust you." He drank and looked at the black window. Was he talking to the Nighthawk or was he talking to himself? He felt sad for the Nighthawk, sad for himself. "So what am I?" Jesse said. "A Dayhawk? How about a night eagle?" He laughed. It was a derisive sound in the empty room. "Night and day," he sang. "I am the one." He raised his glass toward the dark glass in the French doors that opened onto his deck. "Only me beneath the moon and under the sun." He drank again. "God," he thought, "I'm drunk." He walked into the bedroom, where Jen's picture still stood on the night table by the bed. He looked at it for a moment, shook his head. Then he turned it face down on top of the nightstand and drank some scotch.